the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and had a great afternoon, great day. I want to praise the Lord. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. What a wonderful weekend He's given us and what a beautiful day. Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. Each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love and your blessings. Lord, and your mercy on us. Dear Lord, as we come to you tonight, dear Lord, I just ask that we'll be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, ready to praise, ready to worship you, ready to receive your word. Dear Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, now we just want to lift up all those prayer requests. Dear Lord, you've seen the hands that were raised. Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord, the situations that are coming against us and that we're passing through, dear Lord. We just want to place them into your mighty hands. Lord, we're asking you to touch those that have lost a loved one, dear Lord. Just give them that peace that only you can give. Lord, be with those that are sick, those that are shut in, dear Lord, not able to be with us. Dear Lord, we know that right now, dear Lord, there are friends of ours and members of our congregation that are traveling. Lord, we ask you to keep them safe, dear Lord, as they're preparing to get home, dear Lord, and just bring them home to us. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for each and every one here. Lord, we ask now that you'll just bless each and every ministry, each and every activity through this busy season that's going forth. Dear Lord, may you be glorified. Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor. Strengthen him and his family, dear Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for that love. We just want to give you all the thankfulness that we have in our hearts. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I'll take that back. We're going to do a congregational song too. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was looking at all these notes, and I've been trying to keep them going, but not being repetitious too much. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Praise the Lord. Forgive me for that one. Are you washed in the blood? I need y'all to help. Let's just lift up the Lord.
Test.
Yeah.
may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I want to do a couple of quick announcements before we take up our evening offering. Again, just welcome everybody to church tonight. Welcome those of you online. The First Pentecostal in Villa Rica, we're so glad you got to join us. Or if you're watching this at a later date, welcome, welcome, welcome. Just want to remind everybody, we still have mentioned it so many times, but mark your calendar for December 11th. It's our community service. There's going to be multiple churches. I know last time we had five churches involved. I'm not sure what direction we're looking in this way, but it's always a big crowd. And this is going to be a great time, a great ministry. We get to fellowship and also worship with so many other churches, all being like-minded and just want to lift up the Lord. It's at that Sunday evening, the 11th, at 6 p.m. It'll be here at our church. We're hosting it again. Real excited about it. And just want to just invite somebody. Let's just fill the house that night. And like I said, all the love offering that goes forth will be with Shop with the Cop this season. It's hard to believe it's already that time of year. It's just going so fast, so fast. December 3rd, that morning at 9:45, we're having our Christmas caroling. Brother Jim's here, and he'll be able to have you answer any questions. We'd like to invite everybody to join us. It's always a wonderful time. It's that Saturday morning at 9:45. The 11th also, we're going to talk about that day again. After the AM service, the Amazing Gracers are going to get together for their Christmas banquet. It's going to be at Red Lobster, and it'll be right after the AM service. So make plans to join us. Ladies, don't forget on December 10th, you're having your Christmas tea and celebration with Ida Bell Circle. It'll be from 11:30 to 1:30, and I guess it's Curtis Center. Okay, I just want to make sure I had that right. And also our Christmas play. Want an update? If there's anything that you need to bring out? December 18th, it'll be at the AM.
That's it.
Yes, ma'am. That's it?
You need to know. Be there.
Be there. That's
what
right?
You need
I like
to know.
That. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. It's a wonderful time of year, busy time of year. And it also, yes, that's right. I did mention it this morning. It'll be in the Curtis Center also, our family center. The one thing I want to remind everybody, I started saying it this morning, don't let that keep you away from Sunday school. We will be having our normal Sunday school classes. I'm not sure about the adult class if we're going to have to combine. Depends on who in that class is in the play. But we will be having Sunday school. Make plans. It's a wonderful time. All righty. We're going to get ready and collect our evening offering now. So get thank you, gentlemen. They've learned with me to hold a minute before they come up here. So. Brother Luke, we're going to ask you to ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Amen. Thank you. Call on some special singers. Sister Linda, if you would, start working your way up. Then Brother Jim, and then Miss Karen, if you would, after that. And then Miss Jennifer, please. Thank you.
336 hymnal.
All right, I want y'all to open your book. I want to be able to see you. I want y'all to open your books and turn to page 336. I want y'all to sing with me. I've not sang this. Yeah, the red book, not the Bible, the red book. Oh, well, I got this one. I've sang it with the people that I have a recording of it by, and but I haven't tried to sing it by myself. So I still don't want to do it by myself. I want y'all to help me. It says, Jesus forgives and forgets. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. I hope I can see all this. Praise the Lord, there is mercy in heaven, in the land where the sun never sets. For the Savior forgives not as mortals, but our Jesus forgives and forgets. He forgives and forgets. He forgives. Forgive one another, but our Jesus forgives and forgets. All we hear people say, I'll forgive you, but I cannot forget if I tried. But our Savior's own blood sealed our ransom.
Can you bring up Where Could I Go?
Where so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs a manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Could I go seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end? Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the
walks right beside me. He fights my battles and he guides me. Yes, he loves me as small as I am. And sometimes it's hard to walk in his footsteps, but if I stumble, wipes off my sins, puts me on my feet again. Yes, he loves me as small as I am. He picks me up, wipes off my sins, puts me on my feet again. Yes, he loves me as small as I am.
God, great. Amen. All the time. All the time. I'm going to change up the order just a little bit. I know, Brother Dan, you've been asked to do a song for us tonight. You're ready?
I started out living for the Lord many years ago. I had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. Oh, oh. But when I was stumbled and I went humbled down, yeah, I can say it, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Come on, sing it. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. The little devil tests me, tries to turn you around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want. Well, he claimed that if I could, still wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. There's nothing in this world will ever take the place of God's love. No silver or gold will ever buy a body touch from above. Oh no! When the storm begins healing and I begin to feel God's power, I can say, oh, thank the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want. Well, he claimed it if I could, still wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Well, I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. No, the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want. Really fame it if I could, still wouldn't take nothing from my journey now. Well, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing from my journey
now.
face a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes in trouble sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Oh, but this, I must admit, has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold. Trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert. Get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Trust you and believe. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. to trust you and believe.
Amen. Powerful, powerful words. Beautiful job, Sister Jennifer. The author of that song, whoever he or she was, you can really feel that life experience in there and know it's not always a bed of roses, is it? Sometimes it in our learning processes, God takes us up mountains and deserts and all those things, but he knows what he's doing, amen? And he knows better than we do. So thank God for that beautiful song, and thank God for his Holy Spirit tonight. Amen. God's so great. Hey, we've asked Brother Chris to bring the message tonight. We're so glad he's up and about. Amen. Devil couldn't keep that good man down. He's ready and raring. Well, he's ready anyway. I don't think he's raring. But we're good to hear from him tonight. Brother Chris, come take your liberty in the Lord. Brother Jason, it's good to see you, brother. God bless you. Appreciate you coming and supporting us.
Amen. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. That song, it reminds me of been doing a little study on eagles, you know, and as preachers, we go back and we revisit what God tells us sometimes and what God shows us. And I was doing a little bit of studying yesterday and, you know, studying about Isaiah 40, 31. We're not going to go there tonight, but the Bible says, they that mount up with wings as eagles, and I thought it was interesting about eagles. One of the things, one of the attributes of an eagle is an eagle is a high flyer. An eagle can fly very high. You'll never see any other bird flying with an eagle but an eagle. In other words, they don't keep just anybody as company. But I got to looking at that, Brother Jason, and I was like, that's amazing that an eagle flies so high. But when they're babies, everything is comfortable. Mama makes the bed in the nest. It's comfortable. After a while, Mama's ready for them to fly. So you know what she does? She doesn't open the door and kick them out. She makes the bed uncomfortable. And when she starts making that bed a little more uncomfortable, the eagles will either look around and say, hey, either I'm going to be very uncomfortable for the rest of my life, or I'm going to start flying. Isn't that amazing that God does the same thing with us? They that wait on the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. If you're feeling uncomfortable where you're at, that's because God's trying to move you to something higher. Amen. I just want to share that with you. That wasn't even in the notes, but that got all over me yesterday, and I was sitting there in the chair. You know, I try not to be excited too much because I can't move around. Not that I could before. But I said, man, God, that is just so good. And my spirit was doing cartwheels. Cartwheels, you know. That God, that is so good. But tonight I want to come, 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. I want to go through a few passages of Scripture here with a simple thought that God gave me. Doing the right thing the wrong way. Doing the right thing the wrong way. Very familiar passage of Scripture, very familiar story. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 1 in 1 Chronicles 13 says, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere, that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and Levites, which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Look at your neighbor and say, it was right in the eyes of the people. Verse number 5, so David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt even unto the entering of Hemath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. Brother Eddie, if you'll pray.
The Holy Spirit
speak. I begin to read this story in 1 Chronicles 13. And I've read it over and over and over again. And as Christians, we've heard the story over and over and over again about David. A little bit of backstory. David was going after the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the Spirit of God. It represented the holy place where God was. In other words, that's where you wanted to be, was where the Ark of the Covenant was. So David looks around and he says, you know, I don't know if you noticed anything about verses number 1 through 5, but David never petitions God, what should we do? The first thing he says was, I think what we're going to do is we're going to gather all the people together. We're going to make this a real big deal right here. We're going to get all the dignitaries, we're going to get all the presidents, we're going to get all the kings, we're going to get all the rulers. Anybody who's anybody is going to be here. Can you imagine as the word went out throughout the land, hey, are you going? You know, it was like if we had they had modern-day Facebook, they'd send out, hey, invites. Hey, you got to go to this. Oh, I see Sister Linda's interested. Let me see what she's interested in. And she starts spreading, hey, you got to go, you got to go. We're going to go get the Ark. We're going to go get, this is a big deal. We're going to go get the Ark of God. David had it right, but he was trying to go about it the wrong way. And I'll show you what happened. A little bit further down in the passage of Scripture, they load up the ark and they put it on a new cart. Wrong thing to do. God never told them to put it on a new cart. If you've ever done any kind of studies about new carts and the ark, God didn't want that. He wanted it on the old cart. He wanted the Levites to carry it. And I'll show you why in just a minute. So they loaded it up on a new cart. Everything's going along fine. David's going along good. It's looking good. I've got all the people for the gym. Everybody's got all their ties on, and they've got their hair fixed just right, and they've got the right clothes on, and everybody's looking good. But something's wrong. Something's wrong. They get to the threshing floor, and it moves a little bit. And Uzzah, who's David's good friend, puts his hand out to steady it. Again, he had good intention. What did God say? God didn't say, oh, well, bless your heart. I'll forgive you this time. Don't worry about it. God struck him dead right there. Aren't you glad for grace and mercy? I am. Amen. God struck him dead right there. We all know the story, what happened. David got mad at God. You ever been mad at God? Amen. Come on, we've all been in that place where we ask God, why did that have to happen? But if we'll look back in our spiritual mirror and we'll say, you know what, if I'd have been doing it the right way, the first time, I sure could have saved myself a lot of heartache. I sure could have saved myself a lot of trouble. I sure could have saved a lot of heartbreak here. So David says, I'm just going to go and I'm going to take the ark. We all know the story. Set it over at Obed-Edom's house. Brother Keith had sat there for 3 months. The Bible says, and this is, I don't want to go here, but this is what it says. The Bible says that Obed-Edom and his family were blessed for 3 months. For 3 months. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm Obed-Edom and the Ark of the Covenant's in my house, hey, y'all, come on over here. I got something I want to show you. But in the meantime, David is over in the mully groves for 3 months thinking, I'm never going to get the Ark back. It's never going to happen. It's never going to do the right because I tried to do it my way. And he comes to his senses. He wakes up a little bit. Kind of like the story of Naaman, 2 Kings chapter number 5. Naaman has got, he loves God. He's a higher up in the kingdom. But he's got a problem. He's got leprosy. You know the story. You Bible readers know the story. He's got leprosy. So he wants to get healed. So he wants to go to the prophet. And he says, surely if I go to the prophet, I'll be made whole. He gets on his camel. I'm Naaman. Everybody knows who I am. Everybody knows me. I love that song that Karen sings, As Small As I Am. Nobody knows me, but Jesus does. but Jesus does. So much, I tell everybody, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. How much love is that? We have pictures of the boys when they were young, 2008, I think, on our refrigerator. And I was looking at them the other day, and I thought, man, them little guys have grown up into truly wonderful men. And I thank God for that. Amen. But I wonder if God looks at us, Sister Brenda, and he says, man, I just love that Sister Linda. Man, I just love that Brother Smurf. I wonder, come on, somebody. Come on, I think he does. If he looks down on me, and I can tell you for a fact, God looks down at me and says, man, I just love that Brother Chris. Because sometimes I can feel his arms, and this isn't even in my notes, I can feel his arms of love. Come on, somebody. His arms of love wrap around me, and I can feel him flow through. I'm telling you, the devil's been on me double time. But I'm going to tell you what. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? Amen. And I'm thankful that I have a Savior who has got my back. Hallelujah. When they talk about, this ain't in my notes either, but I'm going there. When they talk about having the full armor of God, Brother Jason, have you ever wondered why we don't have any kind of back armor? You know why? The Bible says that God is our re-reward, which means he's not a reward again. God's got your back. In other words, come on, somebody. I got a Savior that's going to back me up. Glory to God. I might have to go through the battles, and I might have to see the fiery darts, but my Bible says they're not going to come nigh unto me. They're not going to come near me because God's got my back. God's watching over me. Amen. Just because David, he looked down upon the giant Goliath, and he went across the brook and he picked up 5 smooth stones. He just scooped them up. Not because David thought he was a bad shot, because David knew that Goliath had brothers. That's a big guy. When he's got a guy in front of him that's holding a shield that's about 10 foot tall, that's a big dude, right? He goes up to him, and Goliath, what's he tell him? I'm going to make you as nothing. And David said, you come to me with a shield and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is still power in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Power that all demons will flee. Amen. You want to get the devil to leave you alone? Just speak the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've watched my wife time and time and time again. If she's having a rough day or having a bad day or just not feeling right, she'll get in her room. And I'll hear, being home for the past month or so, I've really been able to hear this. She'll just start singing, Brother Keith. It'll just, oh, hallelujah. And I'm talking about, you think she sings good here. That ain't nothing whenever she's putting the devil on the run. Hallelujah. She breaks out some extra windpipes from somewhere and it just echoes through the house. And so I'm going to tell you the truth. Some days she'll open the windows up and she'll let the whole neighborhood hear how good God is. Hallelujah. And she starts singing and it lifts everybody's spirits in the house. Why? Because when you glorify God and when you magnify God and when you make him bigger than what your problem is, the devil's got to run because he can't stay around. Amen. Hallelujah. So, David said, let's go and let's do it right. Chapter number 15, 2 Chronicles. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. This time of the year, I love talking about the Christmas story. We all know the different facts of the Christmas story. One thing that comes to mind right here is there was no room in the inn for Jesus. I look around in this world, and a lot of churches, and a lot of people sitting on church pews, they don't have room for Jesus. They don't have time for Jesus. Give me a little bit of religion. Brother Jason, let me feel good for a little bit. Let me get maybe a little bit of goosebumps for a little bit. But let me walk out into the world just like I was before. God ain't all about that. God ain't going to let you leave like you came if you really get serious with him. We're talking about in Sunday school this morning, if you really love God and you really want to do his will, you'll walk the straight and narrow. You'll do what He wants you to do. You'll follow Him where He says to go. Amen. I told him this morning, I said, you know, I didn't get married just to have a wife. That's a benefit. I didn't get married just because I wanted somebody to cook meals for me that was a good cook. That's a benefit. I didn't get married because I wanted somebody that when I wake up next to, and I can honestly say this, I've never seen my wife ugly. Everybody's quiet. That's because I look through eyes of love. Amen. She's not here, but I'm sure she's listening. Whenever I married her for better or for worse. That's what the vow said. For richer or for poorer, till death do us part. Where are you going, Brother Chris? When we come and we give our lives to Jesus, it's not, God, I only want you to have weekend visits. God, I'd only want to meet you on Sunday morning or Sunday night and maybe an occasional Wednesday night. I'm talking about the time has come. If you're going to get in, now is the time to get in. I'm telling you, if you're going to get serious with God, now is the time to get serious with God. Because I've had some visions and I've had some dreams here lately. I'm telling you, it's time to get in. If you're going to get in, I'm sounding the alarm. Get in. Now is the time to get in. Amen. You won't regret the relationship you have with God. Get sold out for God. I'm not talking about if people come by and say, hey, you go to church. Don't you go to church? Listen, I can walk into my garage 500 times a day, but I'm not going to walk out of that garage a car. You know why? Because I'm not a car. Until I become a car, until God makes me a car, I'll never be a car. I can make car sounds and all that stuff, but I can't be a car because I'm not that. People will walk into the church house and say they're a Christian. Come on, somebody. You're being quiet now. Will say that they're a Christian. Will sit on the pew every service and say, you know what? I'm a Christian. They'll walk out in that world and their fruit that they're bearing is not fruit that Jesus has. I'm telling you, if you can't love people, I've had people tell me, Brother Chris, I'm a doctor of theology. Well, good for you. I got a PhD. I kid my wife all the time when her hair gets kind of big. I said, baby, you got a PhD. She said, what is that? I said, you got a Pentecostal hairdo. come on, so y'all lighten up. I got a PhD. I got this and I got that beyond my name. And I'm this person and I'm that person. But do you love people? I mean, do you really love people? If you're not loving people, you don't really love God. Because you're not going to be able to love people unless you love God. If you love God like you say you do, then the people loving will automatically come. I'm not talking about, you know, when we're driving down I-20. My wife says this all the time. Well, bless her heart. That's Southern for get out of the way. You know, that's Christian Southern lady for God's going to get you. You know, bless their heart. Like, woo, hope she don't say that to me. Amen. We should love people. There's one thing that I've found when people try to come at you, I call it sideways. And this is what the devil does. He tries to, yeah. If you'll look at them with eyes of love, listen to what they got to say. And, you know, every action doesn't cause for a reaction. Amen? Come on, somebody. They tell me whenever you have an oil fire not to put water on it because what happens? It spreads. See, even I know that. You put what? Flour, baking soda, stuff like that. You put that on it. Why? Because it diffuses it. The devil tries to come at you just like he did at David. David was a king. The devil didn't care. David was appointed by God. The devil didn't care. Come on, somebody. You think the devil cares anything about you? You're wrong. If you think the devil's got the best intentions at heart for you, you're wrong. All the devil wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. I've said it time and time again. In that order, he wants to steal everything you have. He wants to kill you because that's what his agenda is. And it's not good enough, Sister Linda, that he can kill you. He wants to totally destroy your testimony, destroy your reputation, destroy everything about you so you are nothing. But what did Jesus say? A little bit further down. He said, I am come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. I was born and raised in Florida. And it's amazing to me. I love going to the mountains. But in my hometown where I grew up at, I follow it on Facebook. And they put these most beautiful pictures, Brother Tony, on there. And I think, wow. Today I was looking at it, I was like, wow, I know right where that's at. But I know a lot better places, Sister Linda, that the tourists don't know nothing about. Come on. I know some places in God, hallelujah, that I can go. Come on, somebody, you need to get fired up. I know some places in God that I can go. You know why I know those places? Because I've been in the storm. Because I've been in some places where all I could do was trust in God. And I've been in some places where I knew, God, if you don't bring me out of this, I'm not going to come out of this. And I know that my faith and my trust is in you. And he takes me to some of the beautifulest places, prettier than anything you could see. And the storm might come, I don't know who this is for a season. And it might look bad for a season. But can I tell you that when the sun comes up, not just the S-U-N, the S-O-N. Come on, somebody. When the sun comes up in your life, things will take on a different perspective. In Florida, we dealt with hurricanes. I mean, just, you know, one after another. It's no big deal. People say, hurricane, okay, our power's going to be out for 2 or 3 days. We're going to be hot. Make sure we got water. Everything's good. One thing I've noticed about after a hurricane comes through, everything clears out. The power's off. There's no TV. Everything's quiet. Everything's peaceful. Ain't that how it is after the storm comes? Everything's peaceful. Everything's quiet. That's the time when God's getting closest to us. God's bringing us in. He's saying, you know what? I had you right here. Let me just go ahead and just bring you on a little bit closer. Sometimes when I'm having a rough day, I'll just go ahead and be real transparent with you. I'll come in, and Tabitha will say this before I had surgery. But she'll say, how was your day? And I'll just grab her, and I'll just hug her. No words need to be said. Sometimes it's like that with God. Sometimes we don't have to say anything because he knows everything that we're thinking. And he just grabs us and he just hugs us. And he just holds on to, come on somebody. I'm talking about, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. He holds on to us, amen. Even though David might have messed up right here. Even though David had a little incident with Bathsheba where he did mess up big time and he killed her husband, amen. He was still used by God. What are you trying to say, Brother Chris? I don't care where you've been. God can still use you. I don't care what you've done. Come on, somebody. God can still use you. I don't care what you think the devil has told you. God can still use you. Jump on in the water. Don't be afraid to get in the water. Jump on in the water. Don't just get your feet wet. You know, we would go to the beach. Mom would tell us boys, all right, boys. There was 3 of us boys. My older brother, me, and my younger brother. Can't go past your knees. Well, to us boys, that meant waist, you know. And Mama knew, because she knew knees were waist and waist was shoulders, right? Ankles was knees. So we all knew the unspoken code we could get away with, right? So we'd get in the water, and before long, we'd get to splashing and playing around, Brother Chris, and we'd be having so much fun and just enjoying each other. But we'd get from the top of our head, Brother Keith, to our sole of our feet, we get covered. When was the last time you got spiritually just doused in the Holy Spirit and the holy presence of God? When you let God, you were just driving down the road and had to pull off because I can't even see because I'm crying so much because I think about the goodness of God. Oh my goodness, when that song comes on, and it doesn't even matter who sings it. When I just think of the words, Brother Jason, all my life, he has been faithful. When I wasn't faithful, God was faithful to me. Hallelujah. When I wasn't true, God was true to me. When I wasn't loving, God was loving to me. Hallelujah. All my life, he has been faithful. All my life, he has been so, so good. You look around and you say, but I don't have this and I don't have that. But you got a roof over your head. You got a place to lay your head. Hallelujah. You got the air that you breathe that is on loan from God. Hallelujah. You have another day that God has given us this day. Hallelujah. You've got strength in your body. If there was ever one thing that I'm thankful for, it's having strength in my body to be able to get up. Because I'm a fairly large fella. Every time I tell Tabitha, every time I go into the hospital, it's like they pick out the smallest frame nurse to push me around. Last time this nurse couldn't have weighed 100 pounds. And I can hear back there, Brother Keith, she's You know, I'm sorry, honey, I'm so heavy. She said, it's no big deal. You know, I'm like, pretty sure it is a big deal, you know. And then when they try to stop you, it's like, are we going to hit the wall or, you know, need an airbag here? They're just kind of, I can just picture their feet just sliding, you know. And then they put you on the table to get scanned, and they're trying to help you up, and there's like three or four of them helping you up because you can't get up yourself. And I'm thinking, you know what? I told Tabitha this. I said, honey, as I walk out of this hospital, I said, I'm going to walk out of this hospital, and I did. I said, it's funny because when I walk out, I'm walking real slow. And everybody's, Brother Keith's just, like they're on the Autobahn or something, just running around me. And I told Tabitha, I said, honey, if y'all could ever be thankful to be able to walk fast, I'm thankful to be able to walk fast. And she said, it'll come one day. It'll come one day. You know, sometimes, Sister Jennifer, it does take a mountain for us to realize how good God is to us. Sometimes God's got to pump the brakes on our life and say, hey, hold on just a second. I've been better to you than what you're saying. You need to look around you and see how good I've been. Amen. With David, I don't want to be too long-winded, but with David, chapter 15, he gets together, everybody. He's like, all right, y'all, we're going to do this the right way. And Brother Eddie, I feel like he had tears running down his eyes because he knew the significance of what he had to do, but he also knew the significance of doing it the right way. So he gathers together the Levites. Anybody know what Levites are? Levites are somebody that I would love to be, but for some reason that skipped my generation. Levites are musicians. Levites are also doorkeepers, Brother Tony. Levites are lay people. Levites are craftsmen that made these pews. Levites are basically anything but a priest and a preacher is a Levite. And I thought, why would God choose a Levite to carry the Ark of the Covenant? Such a special thing. Because God wants workers. God's looking for workers. There's no big I's or little U's or little me's in the kingdom of God. There's a wearing this thing together. I tell my people all the time, I said, you know, if you're not on a route that you like, talk to me and I'll put you on a route that you're going to like. Because I want you to get in where you fit in. I want you to feel comfortable where you're at. Because you're not going to be able to excel until you really understand the true calling of God on your life. Some people's calling of God on their life is to pray. Prayer warriors. I'm telling you, that's powerful. That is powerful. That's a powerful calling. Don't think that you're nothing because you're not up in front of everybody. You have everybody's back. You are the ones that are standing in the gap for people. You're the ones that are in the trenches that are really digging in. Amen. Petitioning God. Some people's calling us to vacuum the floors. Some people's calling us for the kids' church. And some people's calling us for this and for that. But it all fits together. So he brings the Levites, and I want to show you what's interesting about that. The Bible actually numbers the people in chapter 15. And David made him houses. He prepared the way. Verse number 2, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. There's also, if you want to get really deep into that, you want to do a Bible study on yourself, by yourself, study the history of the Levites. Very interesting. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of the God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. Now watch this. Of the sons of Kohath, Uriel, the chief, and his brethren, 120. Of the sons of Merari, Asaiah, the chief, and his brethren, 220. Talk about a family gathering. Of the sons of Gershom, Joel, the chief, and his brethren, 130. Of the sons of Elizpan, Shemaiah, the chief, and his brethren, 200. Of the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief, and his brethren, 80. Of the sons of Uzziel and Abinadab the chief, and his brethren, 112.
And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab. I know I'm messing up those names. Verse number 12, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your children, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites in verse 14 sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon. And Moses commanded, as Moses commanded, according to the word of God. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. It was a big possession. Brother Jim, it was a big deal. So much so a big deal that all the land could hear what was going on. If he wasn't invited, you could still hear, Sister Linda, what was going on. When was the last time the church made a noise out in the world? Come on, somebody, I'm talking about me too. When was the last time we're singing a song of praise and victory and somebody comes along that doesn't believe and we silence ourselves? I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to make nobody mad with me. What they need to hear is some Jesus loves them. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen? That's what they need to hear. They need to turn off all that country garbage and all that rock garbage and all that other stuff. You know what I love about this time of year? Anybody that really knows me will tell you. I have Christmas music on my computer, and I play it. Yes, I do. Everything, it gets played. You know why? Because as a Christian, it's special to me. It's not about the trees. It's not about the gifts. It's about my Jesus. And I get to celebrate. We get to celebrate. I have a menorah in my office. I know what a menorah is. I have a menorah in my office. It stays there year round. I love the significance of that. I love that we can celebrate. Somebody says, well, bless God, Brother Chris, you know Jesus didn't come this time of the year. I know that. But I also know this is the time I celebrate when he comes. And I'm going to celebrate my Savior. Hallelujah. Because of what he did for me. Right here, you know, David, he could have been quiet. He could have said, all right, y'all, everybody's going to get together. Don't make no noise. Don't say nothing. No, they were making noise. You know why they were making noise? Because they were celebrating, bringing the ark of God back into the land of Israel. We should celebrate, people, because we have a Savior. My Bible tells me that I have a Savior that intercedes for me. He sits at Brother Jason at the right-hand throne of God, and he makes intercession for me. I have somebody I can go to at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever the middle of the night is for you, and I don't feel good. I'm not in my best health, and I look up and I say, Jesus, I need a touch. And I feel him, hallelujah, come down, and he touches me, and he heals my body. I can't tell you how many times I've gone down the road, and I've heard witnesses, and I've heard things about people with cancer that passed away. The thought that comes into my mind was, God, that could have been me. That could have been me. But God said, but by my grace and by my mercy, I touched your body and I healed you. And I said, God, thank you, because I'm not worthy of anything that you've ever done for me. But I thank you, God. I thank you. What the world needs to hear is that we love Jesus. I wear this wedding ring. Y'all know the significance of a wedding ring. Round, because there's no beginning and no ending. Y'all know I love my wife. I tell you all the time, ain't nobody in this world loves me more than she does. I can go out and people see that I'm married. People know that I'm a married man. I don't even have to say anything. They know I'm married. I want them also to be able to go out and to see me and say, that's a Christian man right there. That man loves Jesus right there. That man will pray for me right there. That man will help me If I need help, if I need somebody to talk to, He always has time for me. Instead of always being too busy and in a rush. Amen? We're always in a rush, ain't we? Always in a hurry. Always got something to do. Take time. Stop and love on somebody. Love on somebody like Jesus would. Show the love of Jesus. And if it hits you, you know, I sing a lot in the shower. The acoustics in there, Brother Keith, are wonderful. I'm talking about if we could just mic that stuff, and, you know, I think I could sell it. You know? Then my wife comes in there and says, "What is that noise?" I said, "What are you talking about? I'm praising the Lord." You know, so, well, turn it down a little bit. You know? Because if I'm going to praise the Lord, I'm going to have it, you know, loud. Amen. I dare you. Praise the Lord in public. If every other religion can do it, why can't we? If every other religion can stop, come on somebody, and we can give them rights that Christians should be taken, why can't we? I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. What they need to hear is, hallelujah, glory. Instead of going down the road and just, bless God, that touches me, hallelujah. Stop, raise your hand. I'm not saying close your eyes because, you know, drive the car. I might be out there with you. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Glorify you, Lord. I praise you because people are going to look. And you never know. I was thinking about this on the way, and I'm closing. I'm thinking about this on the way. Not everybody plants the seed. Not everybody waters. Not everybody harvests. But somebody, Brother Eddie, has got to plant the seed. Somebody has got a water to see. And somebody's got a harvest to see. God, I don't care where I'm at in that line, as long as my hands are working for you. As long as I'm doing something for you. But God, let me do it the right way. Let me do it because let's be honest. If I tell Tabitha all the time, I said, if we run into a whole bunch of money, I'm gonna buy the biggest, nicest, fanciest tractor you ever saw. And it's gonna have the biggest plow on the back of it. And we're going to have all kind of acreage, no trees on it, and a big farmhouse. And I'm going to just plow. And I'm going to be listening to my music. I said, you'll never have to worry where I'm at because I'm somewhere on that property plowing. Because I'm plowing. Because I'm believing for a harvest. Spiritually, let's get into a tractor. Let's put that thing into gear. We can have the biggest, nicest, fanciest tractor there is. Unless we put it into gear, all we're doing is making noise. Put that thing into gear. Get them hands to working. Saying, God, wherever you want me to go, I want to go. Whatever you want me to do, I want to do. God, my heart's in the right place. If you can use anything, you can use me. Part of that song says, take my hands, take my feet. Take my heart, Lord, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. If you believe that God can use you, I want you to stand up. I want the music to come. All God wants is you. We mentioned in Sunday school this morning, God doesn't need you. He wants you. There's a difference. He wants you. He doesn't want what's in your wallet. Doesn't need it. Doesn't want what your bank account says. Doesn't need it. Doesn't want anything that you have to offer. Doesn't want your car. Doesn't want your house. But he wants everything that you have. And if you want to, if God's been dealing with you and you say, Brother Chris, I just feel like that God's wanting me to do something for him, do it. Do it. God's not going to just say, okay, I want you to go out and do this and not make a way for it. Amen? My Bible tells me in the book of Isaiah that God will make rivers coming through the desert to where you're at. He'll do anything. There's nothing that he can't do. Amen? If you need prayer, if you need encouragement, if you need a touch in your body, if you want to stand in for somebody, there's a lot of sick people. There's a lot of people that need a touch in their body. Come forward. Whatever y'all going to pray. quiet.
He touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Blessed Savior. And made me whole. I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me. I'll shout it while
Yes, he touched me.
And opened that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows. Doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day.
This will never, ever, ever lose its power. My, did you enjoy the word tonight? Thank you, Lord. Brother Chris, thank you for bringing that word. Do it the right way. That's doing it God's way. Amen. So many times we have to be corrected by the hand of God. My mind was thinking about all the great patriarchs of the Bible who tried to take it in their own hands and do it their way and had to repent and finally do it God's way. You know, the best thing we do is say, Lord, thy will be done. Jesus, pray that prayer. You know, even if it be thy will, Lord, just let thy will be done over superseding my will. God bless you. So good to have you with us tonight. Continue to pray for so many of our congregation who are still battling the flu bug, the virus bug, whatever they are, they're calling it. It doesn't matter. It's still getting a lot of folks sick. So let's remember them in prayer and just get ready for a great time in the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. Love somebody, fellowship, as we dismiss with prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for the opportunity to gather here tonight. God, for your glorious spirit that we've been made to feel. God, for each and every one, God, who came this way tonight. For those who came for the altar tonight, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for touching them and making a way. God, we especially thank you for the word tonight, the man that brought it to us. Help us to take it to heart, God, and do it your way. Lord, it would keep us out of so much trouble, God, if we just learned to be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Go with us now. Keep us safe from all harm and danger and protect us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You're dismissed. We love you all. Have a wonderful, glorious week.